This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ethel Chop here, you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello, and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. The team's here again today. Phil, Gordon, Chris and Julia.
Julia's at the desk. Yes.
She is. Yes.
Well, but you've got to guess which voice is which.
Oh, yes. I'm sure they'd know which voice is which. There's this tied...
That's easy because we say, Gordon, don't say that.
And then I usually say, Phil.
And I'll say what? Which makes me Phil.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel pretty good.
Good.
And usually by the end of the show, you've pretty well had your fill of me. So.
Let's see if we can do that all again today, because Been There, Done That is Joy's history program, and we like to cover history. And when we haven't got gay history to bat back at you as a listener, we've got local history, international history, world events. We delve deep and far and wide.
We're very cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan, indeed. Mm.
If we were Neapolitan, I'd want to be chocolate.
You want to be chocolate? Oh, I'll be strawberry. Yeah. We'll have
vanilla in the middle. Pretty well vanilla.
Are you vanilla?
No.
Well, we'll get some sprinkles.
Like that advert on TV.
At the moment, yeah, with the spots on his face, yes.
Oh.
So that's stupid. Yeah.
That's very good then. Welcome to...
the laughter program.
Yes, yes, yes. Iriots involved in cooperated. Yes. I'd like to actually say thanks and hi to Jade, to Vicky... and to Chaz, people who are listening on a fairly regular basis, and also to Mark and Gerard, who are over at the moment from the UK.
Oh, are they?
Yes,
oh,
they nice. Decided
to come out to get some warm weather.
Well, it's not all that cold in the UK at the moment, around about 10 degrees.
Oh, right.
Not like on the continent, which is very, very minus the moment.
Same
but,
in America.
You know, I just don't know how those poor little pommy boys would have coped with the last weekend.
Oh, don't talk about it. It was terrible.
It's all a big inversion layer.
Yes.
So the colder they get, the hotter we get.
Hmm.
Well, you could be right.
Well, I just made it up, so it's got to be right.
No, it was -2 in Vancouver, I can tell you that much.
Yeah. That is...
Because I have family living in Vancouver, and they were complaining about they were shoveling snow so much.
Well, they shouldn't be
and
out.
And they don't normally
it's
get a lot of
the
snow.
Border, they're shoveling a lot of other things at the moment as well.
Yes, including intelligence.
Hello.
Just run out the window.
That's an oxymoron.
On today's show, we'll be talking about the discovery of DDT, or the person who discovered DDT.
Is it an invention or a discovery?
Well, probably because it's an assembled chemical structure, it actually has had to be put together by someone. Mm. But someone would have been just mixing up a little bit of a brew and then working out, ooh, this does such and such.
All the fruit flies in his orange bowl died.
Well, that's right. It was a solution to a problem that hadn't been discovered, or vice versa.
And then it introduced a whole new problem that...
We'll talk
about
later.
We'll talk about later. We'll also talk about oil and the discovery thereof in the modern era.
And oils and
coal,
oils.
Exactly. And pollution in China,
which was
disgusting to see on the TV a couple of days ago.
Mm.
We'll be mentioning the fact that Midsummer Carnival, the 30th anniversary, is coming up on Sunday.
Very fast. It's approaching. Like the speed of a train, actually.
And yes.
It's back in the Alexandra Gardens where it belongs.
Yes. It is. And depending upon when you hear this show, you have either have attended or you would have just missed. Midsummer Carnival 2017. That and a lot more.
And some great music in between it too.
We've got a couple of birthdays lined up. So you'll have to stay listening for all these things. And of course, after our show, there will also be, because it's that time of the program grid, your favourite specialty shows will be following our show.
Oh, will they?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
That's right. That's right.
I get people warmed up.
Yes.
I like to be followed.
I don't.
Don't you?
Get this eerie feeling.
You get an eerie, fairy feeling. Oh, never mind. Yeah.
So let's talk about the weather and get that out of the way because...
Yes.
I can sum it up in one word.
Awful.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit sticky around the edges.
Warm is nice. We don't need this humidity rubbish.
No. Actually, on Saturday afternoon, it was a very dry heat because I went out the back because I wanted to get a board ready for a painting, and I had to get the sander, and I walked out to the shed, and it was quite. I thought, it's hot, but it's not that awful sticky enough.
Yeah, they saved that till later.
Yeah, they saved it for later. Yes, but I finished a painting and did sort of all bits and pieces in the heat.
It's nothing new because in 1896 in Bourke, New South Wales, they had 13 days. Of continuous heat well over what was the old 110 figure.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up, apparently, 47 people died at it.
Yeah, well, of course.
Because they didn't take care of themselves.
Well, in those days, of course, people were not probably aware that you had to remain hydrated. You had to drink a lot of water and stuff to sort of keep your thing. And most of the 47 people were probably elderly. And they're the ones that suffer the most.
And it was organ failure.
Mm.
Because the body isn't really built to take excessive temperatures, you know, in excess of 40 degrees continuously for 47 days.
No, it's not worth it. It's but as I say, they could have done probably if they'd have known that they were supposed to drink a lot of water, because that would have helped a hell of a lot to keep the organs going.
In Bourke, they probably don't have a lot of water.
They've got a river goes through Bourke, isn't there? Isn't there a river that goes through Bourke? Yeah. I think there is. I'm not quite sure of that part of Australia's geography, but I'm sure there's probably that's why it's there. It's on a river.
And they keep saying to us, keep hydrated, but you've got to remember that does not include alcohol, and it shouldn't include coffee because they are...
Diuretics.
They make you wee and reduce. Although,
It gets rid of...
You perspire as well.
Yeah. And don't drink seawater.
Because you don't
know. Because it's salty.
Mm.
Yeah.
And don't eat yellow snow. Oh, that's all my liquid knowledge coming together now.
Yes, well, I've never eaten liquid snow. Yellow snow, I mean, yeah. Okay. But no, but you've got to be very careful in the hot weather to drink lots of water.
Yeah, act like a hippie. Just stay cool, man.
Yes, stay cool.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm not a person that drinks a lot of water.
No, but you should be.
I really have to force myself to drink water in the hot weather.
I guzzle water. I love water.
Yeah, but you don't drink.
The suggestion is by the doctor people that you check the colour of your wee.
That's right. And if it's bright yellow, you should be.
Well, yeah.
What's Nintendo got to do with this? And they only come in two colours. I'm assuming.
Well, there's Wii 3.
Is there? Ooh.
Kings of Orient.
Don't know where that comes from. No, that's Wii 3 Kings.
That was last season.
That's
oh,
right.
My goodness.
Had another Christmas.
Oh, dear. We've had all this drama with Centrelink.
Yes, that's
now friends of mine are getting a pension of one sort or another, or have because they were unemployed for a period of time, and they got this letter saying, "Oh, you owe us $24,000. All the money we've paid to you over the years."
Yeah. But the point is that when the people take all these, they have to take all their paperwork. We all know of a person that's also got to pay back a lot of money, and. She has given everything to the Centrelink at the time that it was required, everything that was required, so they paid her on that.
Yeah.
Now if they find out that what they've done is wrong, it's not her fault.
No.
It's their fault. She shouldn't
have to pay
back.
Well, it's the computer's fault, and why would it be the computer's fault?
Because Centrelink is just, it's like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It's just a computer. All those people you see in the office, and you don't see many, I can tell you that, they're cardboard cutouts.
Oh.
So it's the computer doing everything.
Yeah, but
there's a man behind a curtain.
Yeah.
And according to my friend, you cannot speak to anybody there. It's all done on computers or phones. You don't speak to a human being.
Yes, you are encouraged not to attend the office.
That's right.
To get the mobile app. or to go online.
And stick on the phone for half an hour, three quarters of an hour, trying to get through or something rather from friends of mine.
During which time your brain is being radiated.
You would have thought that the government should have been able to get it fixed and have it sorted completely, run it through as
the government's happy.
They should have been running it through as a trial period to see what happens, you know.
Yeah, no, but the government, quite frankly, doesn't see a problem.
Yeah, well,
because they wanted revenue.
The minister standing up there and said they've only had 276 complaints. where's he been?
The trick there is you stop counting at 277.
Is that what it is?
No,
yeah, but I feel sorry for all those people.
Garbage
really,
in, garbage out.
Yeah, is what computers are,
and
aren't they?
The questions that were asked of the computer, totally out of whack.
Mm.
And I think
the algorithm needs some fine tuning.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
If you're having problems with Centrelink, stand your ground.
And yes, that's right. Yeah, argue sure. Forcibly. Yeah.
Now, of course, someone who is having a birthday at this time is Felipe Rosa.
Gorgeous name. I love that name, Felipe Rosa. He was a gorgeous looking guy too.
Well, he did really well because he had a feather in his cap.
That's right, he did too, yes.
And he lived in a village with some people.
That's right, yes. And so he was the little Indian.
Yes, he was a how Indian, not a dot Indian.
A how.
Yes, you, how.
Right.
And he was part of the Village People crew, and he was the original member. Still there.
He's still there, yep.
And there used to be a question, can you stop the music? We need an answer.
When you meet the children in the street, I'll sway into the rhythm. There's something moving in them. There's no place to hide, so why even try? Can't you hear it?
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
Thanks for being with us. You're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9 with Chris,
Gordon.
Phil and Gordon.
And me.
And you.
Oh,
being
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, and you're listening live while we're not.
Oh, don't freak out the neighbours like that.
Yes, but you could be listening to us on a podcast.
Well, there's that
which
about
can
it
be
too.
Found on the Joy.
That's
webpage.
Right. You go to joy.org.au/podcasts and been there, done that, and look at that. Look up the podcasting,
and you can contact us with your compliments,
and you can thank Julia for that because she's our wonderful podcast lady.
On the 12th of January, 1899. That's two centuries ago.
1899.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're into
the second century.
Second century past.
After that, Paul Hermann Muller, the man who discovered DDT was a potent insecticide, was born. He was born in Switzerland. He grew up to be a Swiss chemist who discovered the DDT, which had been already formulated elsewhere, was actually a potent insecticide. And as I mentioned earlier, we're not sure whether the chicken and egg came or the egg came first, whether, in fact, having formulated DDT, they were now looking for uses for it. But at any rate, it was really good because bugs...
It killed a hell of a lot of bugs.
It did, it
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
He was committed of insecticide.
Oh, yeah. But the assessment of its effectiveness wasn't particularly terribly precise at that stage, back in those early days of the 20th century. And it was only after later research that discovered that the DDT actually accumulated in the food chain.
Yeah, residual stuff that stays in the food chain, and when the animals eat it, they build up a residual DDT amount in their systems. And then we go and kill the cattle and what have you and eat them, and we're getting DDT. That's what we used to do.
Until 1972, when it was banned.
Well, in the US.
Yeah, they were still finding traces of it in the US in 2002.
30 years later. Oh, yuck. My God.
Straight up there with the weather.
Whoa. Yeah. In 1948, the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine was given to Muller for his discovery of the insecticidal properties of DDT. But
I think everybody...
Yeah, they should have perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody in the garden, if you had a garden at home, you always had the pot of DDT to sort of spray around everywhere to get rid of the bugs and things.
No wonder these days when they have the council cleanups, they ask for all your gardening sprays and stuff into a special box. And they get incinerized.
Do they? Oh, right.
Probably.
Yes, but people are slow learners because it took ages to discover the effects of DDT.
Yeah.
we've got asbestos.
Well, it took
formaldehyde.
Well, I think they knew about asbestos very early, but they hid that. They hid it. They didn't talk about it at all.
Well, they didn't want it affecting profits.
Well, there's always, it's where the profit's concerned, there's the most thing, isn't it?
Formaldehyde. Weren't the doctors already using that for preserving bits and pieces in glass jars?
Yes, but it was, the monster was out of the box.
Oh.
And it's a nice word to say if you don't think of the side effects.
All right.
Okay. And there's been other things like thalidomide.
Oh, the thalidomide, yes. That was supposed to help pregnant women in the early stages of pregnancy to get over morning sickness and stuff.
And what happened was gross deformities of the
baby in utero.
Oh, limbs missing, all sorts of dreadful things.
Yeah, I had
Fortunately, they discovered that quickly enough that there wasn't too many people in that boat. Mm. But, you know, ugh.
But I had a customer years ago who had a thalidomide child with no legs.
Mm. Ooh.
And just a couple of stumpy arms. Yeah, terrible.
It makes you wonder what they do for the testing of these compounds.
Yeah, well,
it's rabbits and monkeys and
see, people
like
don't
that.
Like animal testing. And
no.
Especially with the early days of AIDS research, people didn't want to wait for all this testing. They're saying, just give us this latest medicine and
we're dying anyway,
let us
give
be
it
the
to
guinea
us.
Pigs.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a very tough balance in there, isn't there?
Of course, we're talking about DDT. It was around for so many years from the time it was sort of invented or worked out to be what it was until the 70s when it was banned. It was out there for years, well, decades. So you can imagine how much DDT was dumped on the planet.
Well, see, the problem was it increased food production.
That's right.
The insects weren't
eating away at the
baby food.
It made better looking food too. You didn't have all insect bites and things all over the thing. So that and when you go into a supermarket these days, if the food doesn't look absolutely perfect, people won't buy it.
And so it would have been probably decades before the problems started to exist or symptoms started to show.
Yeah.
Then somebody had to get the light bulb moment
and say,
think, oh, there's
DDT
a connection.
Doing it. Mm.
So it would have been one of many nightmares of reverse engineering to go back and figure it out.
Someone who's having a birthday at about this time is Long John Baldry. 12th of January 1941 was his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a nice little piece of music here to play, but he is a very interesting fellow.
He had a lot to do with the music of the 60s in Britain.
Yeah.
And he was the fellow that discovered Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart was sitting in a busking in a tube station, and John Baldry thought he sounded pretty good, so he took him into the studio and started working with him.
Did he have a husky voice at that stage?
I'm not sure. But then he also was, Reggie Dwight was another one of his discoveries as
young
well.
Young Reggie?
Reggie Dwight, yes. And
who's your name, dog is named after?
No, Phil? That's Eddie.
Oh.
So, yes, Eddie John was a very popular singer in the 70s.
Yes, and of course, Reggie Dwight decided to take the name John from Long John Baldry, and Elton from Elton Dean, who also sang in the band with them, another singer, and that's where he got Elton John from.
And so he was punching out music in the 60s and
he 70s? He was the original blues singer in England. He was the man that originally sang blues in England.
A white man.
A white man singing the blues, And
he influenced not only the 60s, but the 70s by people he discovered.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, he had a huge thing.
And a really deep voice.
And he was the out and proud gay man in the 60s.
And he helped Elton John get over
his. You were here he is.
Girl, you had a rag doll. The only doll that you've ever owned.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
You're with Phil, Gordon, Chris and Julia, our podcaster, here on Joy 94.9. Julia's rather quiet in the background, but she's looking at every word. She's got the scissors.
Has she really?
Yeah, to cut the recording up into little pieces and only save the good bits.
Well, it's all good. How dare she cut it up?
You've got to be careful with editing.
Yes, that's
and
right.
You've got to be careful with editing.
Hello?
Because you might repeat yourself. You've got to be careful with editing. That's going to hurt her little brain, isn't it?
Which one do I cut out? Yeah, there you are. And mine too.
What
thank
did you say
for
about editing?
Phil, you were commenting that you saw on the TNV, or was it you, Phil, Gordon, about pollution in China.
The pollution in China was absolutely horrific. It's all caused by coal. The reporter went out and he found out where it was coming from. It was from coal, basically coal. And
why? Is this because it's the people who don't have access to modern technology. They are still burning coal fires as opposed to switching a switch for
electricity. That was part of it. That was part of it. There was a chap, he had a coal fire, and they make the coal in a round cylinder shape with holes burnt through, holes in it, and they pick it up with a pair of tongs and drop it into a stove that is made just to take that cylindrical piece of coal. And they asked the chap why he didn't have electricity, and he said it was too expensive to heat the place, so he burnt coal. But the worst people are the power electricity producers. They said that the Chinese dig up more coal for electricity than the rest of the world combined. So you could imagine how much coal is being dug up. Not only are they not trying to do anything about renewable energy, they say they are, but in Beijing they're obviously not, because they said they're going to open up another 200 coal-fired power stations.
Wow, yuck.
And people are walking around with masks on and they're told to stay home. And
well, I've flown into LA down through from the clean blue sky down into the brown sludge. When you're on the ground, you don't see it.
No, well, it's the same here.
It's improving in LA. When I was there in the 80s, they were just really getting serious about the Clean Air Act. And provided you had good winds, the valley would get cleaned out.
Right.
But basically it gets trapped. There's an inversion layer, and this one I'm not making up. It is actually trapping the pollution.
That's right, yeah.
And that's where the word smog came from, because it was smoke and fog together.
Mixed together.
Mm. Oh, right.
And it was really quite yucky.
Mm. Of course, I believe in the UK, in London, in the early 60s again, they passed the Clean Air Act and all coal-fired fires were stopped in private residences.
Mm.
Briquettes and all those sort of things, not on anymore. And they used to have some real pea super fogs.
Well, we're fortunate.
We did too.
Yeah, we're fortunate here in Melbourne because we always get a lot of wind. We get the northerly winds, and we get the southerly winds come in and from the west. So we've always got that wind sort of keeping things clear.
And I can remember here in Melbourne in the 70s, just before briquettes were banned here, that you'd have really bad fogs.
Yeah.
And the moisture would actually use the particle of soot that has gone up the chimney as the place where they would add on a bit the moisture, and that would then turn clouds of fog.
Yes, well, I can remember when I worked in Windsor, and I could get upstairs.
Was the Queen there?
No. She was out walking the corgis.
Was the Duke of Windsor?
It's the pub down the corner. But I could go into one of the rooms where I worked and look across to the city, and you could see this grey, browny sort of haze over the city.
It was romantic.
And that was just from Windsor. And
well, we used to have the gasworks in Box Hill.
Mm.
And it was fascinating to me as a kid because these things would expand in height depending on how much gas they were storing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that was coal burning and creating gas in the suburbs.
Yeah,
and I miss the fog because we just don't get it anymore.
No, we don't, do we? No. But it's a dreadful thing. But then, of course, you've also got pollution coming from motor cars which use oil, of course.
Ah, well, there's a great big thing.
And then, because oil's been around for centuries.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting when, in fact, the petrol runs out, if it ever does, because we've now discovered atomic electricity from nuclear plants, or how does Homer call it? Nuclear.
Nuclear. But that's falling out of favour.
Yeah.
And I think France and Germany, I don't think of any more running.
Japan are not going to open up the rest of theirs that they were going to make.
Well, it turns out they're self-opening. Just leave them out there in the weather and they'll blow up on their own.
But it's interesting where we're getting power from. Did you see that article in the paper the other day about putting power generators in water pipes? You know, the water pipes that deliver the water to you?
Yeah.
They're working out this system where they put a little turbine in there, and they can put as many turbines in the water pipe, of course. Then they turn the power, it goes up into out the power.
Could it be milliamps from each one?
Yeah, but They said it, there's enough.
I drove past a burst fire hydrant last week.
The power of that.
And it crossed six lines of the highway and came down on the opposite footpath. There is a lot of pressure there.
Yeah, but it's amazing because when I read this, I thought, what a brilliant idea. You know, the little turbos in the water pipes. Yeah. And there are hundreds of them because it doesn't stop the water from flowing.
No.
And it creates so much electricity and it can go up into the storage batteries or something like that.
So it looks like electricity is the way to go, but until we get there, we've got to live with the legacy of oil pollution. There's lots of products that come out of the oil supply chain.
We get plastics from oil, don't we?
We do. We do. We'd be missing without those products.
Shopping bags.
I mean, what would Mr. Tupperware do for a fruit crust?
Well, it's all those things that are made from oil, you know.
But of course, as you say, oil's been around for a long time, 2 centuries before the Common Era.
Oh, well, yes.
You know, 4 centuries ago. Well,
you can go back to the Egyptian times. The Egyptians had oil. They used oil to burn in their little...
Yeah, that was paraffin, but that could have been olive oil.
Yeah.
You can burn that as well.
Yeah, but it was definitely oil.
Or the embalming, that would have been vegetable oils and things like that.
But they also had the oil that they used to use the oil to get salt from the brine.
Well, they worked out that this was flammable, it could burn, and therefore they would make a little bit of a furnace using this pitch or ooze from the ground.
Well, and I'm amazed that I've got a note here that says ancient Persian tablets indicate the medicinal and lighting uses of petroleum in the upper levels of their society.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine the Persians having iPads.
No.
Persian tablets.
I thought they're the ones you swallowed.
Oh, that, well, see, that, there's always writing on the tablet. I can never read it.
Yeah.
Too small. Yeah, it's been around for centuries, thousands of years. Oil has been around. Yeah.
But it was naturally occurring stuff. And of course, even the name petroleum gives you the real source of where it was. Petroleum is Petra, which is the rock, Saint Peter, on this rock I built my church, And oleum is the Latin for oil. So petroleum. It was there all the time. That's where we get our petrol.
Yes, but also you've got to remember that there's a huge industry providing the oil and turning the oil into petrol for people to use.
You know, of course, in the 1850s or thereabouts, there seems to be brain burst amongst a lot of like-minded scientific-type people, and they worked out there was lots of little compounds contained within the oil itself, and they distilled them like whiskey, and they drew off various bits and pieces and for various uses, and it was basically on the strength of one of those compounds that was drawn off that the car industry at the turn of the 1800s into the 1900s that was used to power these internal combustion engines.
That's right, yes.
Mr. Benz and Co.
Yes.
And we've had a whole century living with cars and petrol, but the way the electric cars are coming along, it might be the end of petrol cars as we know them.
You'd always need to have a bit of petrol for the lubrication of the wheels and things like that.
You could use whale oil. There's plenty of whales
in
the ocean.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to kill whales.
Whales don't like that.
Whales don't like that.
Oh.
We don't kill whales for oil anymore anyhow.
In the old days, you could do your banking on the whales. But again, the whales, they kept dying. So.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. I'm not so sure about all that.
It said you can bank on the whales. It was a whole advertising campaign.
Yeah, you stand on their flutes.
Yeah.
Please stay tuned, even if this doesn't grab you by the throat.
It shouldn't grab any of us by the throat.
We're going to be talking about Midsummer Carnival coming up. In the meantime, let's hear a little of a song from Charlotte
Perelli.
And what's the name of the song, please, Gordon?
Hero.
In 2008, this song was the Swedish entry for the Eurovision Song Contest. It was number one in Sweden, number four in Hungary, but I don't know whether it really scored anywhere else. Let's have a listen here on Joy.
A A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Been there, done that. With Gordon, Phil and Chris. Why do I always put myself last? Because I'm a gentleman.
Oh, you're a gentleman. Gentle person.
The ladies go first.
Oh, thank you.
Slam the door in their face.
You're the bedrock that holds us all together.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, and you get beyond the bedrock, you get oil. Oh, going back to it.
Thank you. It's interesting noticing the political situation in the US as they rock down towards the 20th of January, when is the inauguration of their newly elected
him. But the worst part the worst part about it is that he's going to dismantle their health system, which is what Obama tried to get, so that the people who couldn't afford or lost all their insurance had some sort of cover.
And people with pre-existing illnesses, conditions weren't covered by the previous
insurance
healthcare system. So Obama's corrected that.
Yeah, but
so hopefully Mr. T is softening on some things now that he's getting closer to the job, so we just cross our fingers.
Because at the moment they're really our community, and especially the HIV community in the US, have got various expenses that they can't claim on insurance when they're trying to treat their HIV infections and things. We're lucky in Australia. A lot of the medicines that we use are covered by the PBS?
Yeah, Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. Yeah. PBS. And we are lucky in that respect, because if you talk to people in America, which I have done on the odd occasion when I've been there about HIV, and I've stayed, and a chap that had HIV was servicing my room at the bed and breakfast I was staying at, and he was telling me it cost him thousands of dollars a year for his medication. But they have where he lived, they had a ballot. If you got balloted, 800, they had 800 people, you got your medicine free for a year, and he was number 799 or something rather out of the ballot, and he was that happy, you know, because it was going to save him that much money. But it's also, it's lots of other things that we do that they don't do, because we're not covered by, well, we're not a totally capitalist society like America are.
They see government assistance as socialism.
That's right, yes.
You know, it's a digital decision to them. There's no in-between.
That's right.
Whereas I think what we've got is a system friendly...
We try to look after the people that are not that can't look after themselves, basically. Yeah. Well, not that they can't look after themselves, but that they need the help to continue living.
Mm. Yeah, and we see that as a duty of government.
That's right, yes.
Whereas, for some reason, that just hasn't stuck in America.
So yeah, we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, well, there's one thing that the Americans have just discovered that is paramount in their health crises, and that is HPV. What do we call it? That's human
papillomavirus.
Papillomavirus, that's right. Mm. And it's the women get cervical cancer, but also guys get, what's on their junk is the expression.
Yes.
But also in the heterosexual community, the men are the carriers from one woman to another.
That's right. Yes.
And so we in Australia, quite a few years ago, vaccinated our
younger women.
Our girls, our ladies. And then a little bit later, they decided that because men were the vectors, or as much the problem as anything
else,
that's
right. Yeah.
Then they guys from sort of 13 to 15 or 12 to 13 year olds were vaccinated as well.
Mm.
And our HPV rates have dropped right down to nowhere.
Yep.
Whereas in the US, it's the HPV is a health crisis that they just don't know how to handle.
Well, the idea is if they had free vaccinations like we did here. It's as simple as that, I mean to say. But once again, because that smacks of socialism, they wouldn't do it.
Well, what did America do with the polio vaccine?
They probably had to probably buy it, I would say.
Jonas Salk
was an American, wasn't he?
Yeah, but we surely have learnt from our experiences that you can actually eradicate diseases by doing preventable medicine or preventative medicine.
But you've still got a lot of people here that are anti-vaxxers. You know, that's another thing that is...
not plenty. There's a few.
There's a few, yeah.
Loud-mouthed.
Yeah.
Radical hippies.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things. But anyhow, the HPV in America must be very serious if they're considering it. But it's something you hardly hear of here in Australia.
Well, luckily... we've got a fairly good medical system here, but specifically for our community, if you want to find out some of these facts and figures and connections, this Sunday coming up, go to the Midsummer Carnival, Alexander Gardens.
I'm sure there'll be lots of people there that'll help
lots
you.
Lots of community organisations and support groups there can talk about these things. It's from 11 o'clock on Sunday at Alexandra Gardens.
Mm-hmm. We'll be there. Joy will be there.
We will be. And lots of other people will be there as well.
I'll be there with Vintage Men.
I hope the weather's going to be kind.
23 degrees, according to the forecast last night.
Gorgeous.
Finally a nice day.
Yes, yes, because it's... but then again, that was last night. We've still got a week to go. we're at, something like that. It's a week. The forecast is a week ahead or something or other, and I'm sure it said Sunday.
If you've never been to a carnival day, it's a good chance to go there anonymously if you're scared of coming out, but you shouldn't be scared of coming out because there's so many other people there that you get lost in the crowd, so, you know, you can't be identified. But the other thing is you suddenly realise you're not the only gay in the village.
No, that's true, but it's surprising the number of heterosexual couples and people that wander through Midsummer.
And young families.
And young families, yes.
Those last couple of years, it's a very family-friendly event.
Oh, yes.
It's a public venue.
Well, we've always been family-friendly anyhow.
Yeah.
It's
on the way
say.
To the tennis centre and the
free.
MCG.
And it's free.
It is free.
Yes, just wander along there. And there's a lot of... there's going to be a lot of tents there because I've got the plan for it all, and there's a huge amount of
50 or 60 tents.
Yeah, something like that, And they're split into four.
There's a couple of stages on which there'll be musical acts and all sorts of wonderful things.
I believe Dolly Diamond is going to be there.
Oh, our Dolly.
Our Dolly, yes. I think she's going to be up there for some reason.
So come along, the excitement is intense.
Yes, it is.
Lots and lots of tents.
I always have a bit of a problem with the Midsummer because they always seem to situate the tents east and west rather than north and south. So you always get, if one side you get the horrible, you get the morning sun, and in the afternoon you get the afternoon sun coming in from the west. But instead of, you can't, I guess you can't do it to position everything
north and
south.
Just need more tree cover. Then everybody can be under the trees.
Yes, well, they usually are by the end of the day, aren't they? They're sort of everywhere. But it's a great day to go along and just experiment. Have a look. You don't have to be gay
to do
it.
Lots of food vendors there.
Yeah, there's food, there's everything, and all sorts of bits and pieces.
And people take their picnic gear and sit down there. Oh, it's a great...
People get there early and grab a spot. You know, they say, this is where the sun's going to be, the shade's going to be this afternoon. We're grabbing this spot, and they make sure that they've got there.
And there's lots and lots of dogs.
Lots of dogs, yes.
Every size and shape.
Well, they have the dog show.
Yes, Eddie won't be there.
Eddie won't be there.
Eddie doesn't like dogs. He is a dog, he just doesn't like them.
Does he know he's a dog, though?
Well, no, because he plays on the slide up at our local park.
Yeah.
And he taught himself how to go down the slide by copying little boys who were doing it. And we were talking to a girl the other day who just watched him go down the slide, and she said, how did you train him to do that? And I said, I didn't.
He just did it
himself. Other kids having fun, and he wanted to.
I wonder if Cupcake does that.
Yeah, well, Cupcake might, yes. I don't know whether Nina might not live anywhere near a park with a slide. I'm not sure.
No.
Well, there's always trapeze or high wire. There's lots of tricks dogs can do.
Oh, yeah, begging for food is one of them.
Yeah.
My Eddie can't beg because he's top heavy, so all his weight is in his chest, so if he tries to get up and beg, he just falls over.
Oh, poor Eddie.
Oh, he does all right.
I'm sure he does, yes.
He's sitting there today probably picking at his turkey with liver.
Oh, in air-conditioned comfort, of course.
It's not on today.
You've turned your aircon off.
Well, it's been running all weekend.
On the 13th of Friday, Black Friday, back in 1939, just remembering that we had horrible, horrible bushfires here in Victoria. It was called Black Friday because of them. Massive destruction everywhere. 71 lives were lost. And the forests that we see up in the Dandenongs and beyond in the mountain range are actually all new trees because most of them were cooked out back in the 39.
That they regenerated. Yeah.
They did regenerate.
Can I mention about the professor on the television the other night. He was saying that people should not be allowed to live in forests like
that.
Because he said that they shouldn't be allowed to live there.
Mm. But it's part of the natural cycle of the Australian forest, is to burn to the ground and regenerate.
Well, the indigenous people used to do that. They used to burn where they'd been so that there would be new stuff growing when they come back six years later or something
like
that.
So when we had our green politicians come into the councils and say, you can't chop down those trees that are touching your house and you can avoid the fire just by cleaning your gutters. Again, we learn by our mistakes.
Oh, we certainly
do. I
think
that sort of works.
And as a contrast to that, around about this time, back in 2011, Brisbane had that epic flood.
Oh, God, yes.
Fortunately, I don't think there was very many lives lost in that, but there was a huge volume of water that they thought they would hold back with the dam.
The Wivenhoe Dam.
The Wivenhoe Dam. Mm. And then someone realised, oh, there's more water than this dam can hold. We better take the plug out.
Mm. Which is why they call them dams. Because at some point somebody's going to say, oh, damn, look what we did.
Mm. And that was freakish.
Very freakish.
Watching all the... Because we, here in dry old hot Melbourne, we saw all these TV reports of the floods, and it was
huge.
amount of muck and water and pollution came down their river.
That's right. Well, it had Dorothea McKellar, a land of droughts and flooding rains. But that's Australia, and you learn to live with it, of course.
On that wise note, we'll have to say goodbye.
Is it that time already?
It is that time of
quick
already.
Hour, wasn't it?
Come and join us next week. We'll have some more topics. Hopefully there'll be actually a few more gay people that we can celebrate their lives and works. Catch up with you next week.
Bye for now.
And see you later.
Cheerio.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.